Hey, welcome to Comfort Food Comics, the podcast. As always, this is your host, Dave Shevlin. With me every episode, my man, Danny Mofizi. If this is your first time listening, the two of us get together, we talk about and we rank some comic stories. I'm a guy that's been in the game too long. Danny is fresh to the comics game. So together, we get some really different and some wonderfully disparate opinions about different things, and we put them together, we talk about them, and then we both give them a score out of 50, and the cumulative score out of 100 gets ranked on the big board, always stickied at comfortfoodcomics.com. Danny, what up?
Hey, Davey, happy Friday. Long weekend here. How you feeling?
Oh, Memorial Day weekend is upon us when this will be up. You're right about that. It is upon us. I usually hate Memorial Day weekend.
Is this kickoff unofficial start of summer?
You're a long-time listener, yes, it is the unofficial kickoff to summer, and it is absolutely the first manic weekend of home firework blast-offs, usually is a mess on a Monday night, which I really love. I just love a Monday night filled with hours-long firework celebrations so my dog can freak out and I can not sleep and have to corral her all night. It sucks.
Well, I mean, just strap in, because it'll probably be Sunday night too, and probably Saturday.
Of course. Yeah, probably all weekend, really.
Maybe Thursday night. You know, it's very common in these days for a four-day weekend.
It's all frustrating. It is all frustrating. But something to take away from it, to assuage that pain. It's NBA playoff time, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Round one just started.
How them Knicks do? How them Knicks doing?
They lost. They lost. Hopefully by the time everyone's listening to this, they will have won a game.
Man, they got a split.
They got a split. You know, you got to... Hopefully they fuck up that sucker that fell on the ground, got some hair attached to it. Human Trae Young.
He does kind of look like a lollipop.
Lollipop that hit the carpet. Got some fucking dog hair stuck to it. Piece of shit. But yes, it's playoff time, baby. New York forever. We're obviously rooting for the Knicks here. I am, at least. Dan's mean and doesn't like the Knicks for whatever reason.
I'm just a fan of the league. I just love good competition. You know,
it's
in fundamental basketball, which nobody plays anymore, Dave. Nobody plays.
Has been a thrilling opening round. I don't know if you've watched any of it. Did you watch any this first weekend? A couple days?
I had it on a little bit, but I was dozing. It was like an afternoon nap.
Got you. It is some of the most fun I've seen yet in the playoffs. This is one of the weirdest seasons ever, and I feel like so many teams are, like, from 1 through 8 are totally almost equal in a way. Yes, there's some that are better, but like the competition, you know, you might call it parity, but it's been so fun. You don't know who's really going to win. The games have all been super exciting. Great basketball all around. So it's been good. It's been really good, Danny. That's right. And probably putting the listeners to sleep.
They have fans? Do they have fans in these games?
Fans are back in almost all of the arenas. And the sound it's crazy how much of a difference it makes watching these with the crowd into it.
It's so weird, all these sporting events we had with no crowds and like the piped in. Like, I noticed it during NFL games last season, the weird crowd noise.
Yeah. I mean, it was so fucking weird. It's like I watched the Knicks game on Sunday and just the booming loud noise, all that shit starting again. It was like, God damn, this really
we're back,
make
baby.
A difference.
We're back, baby.
We are.
It's over. It's declared over, you know.
I disagree, but yes.
Put the victory flag out, folks.
Now, if you're sick of this basketball talk, well, I'm sorry, but strap in, because that is the theme of the episode, playoff basketball, intersecting with our May theme of crossovers, bizarre crossovers that no one ever talks about.
Why are we going back to the basketball? Well, we should have learned. Basketball comics.
Now look, for a long time, our old Ball is Life episode was our worst downloaded one. We weren't getting any of the shit on there. But it came around. There were some people that started listening to it lately. So, you know, it's not...
It's very topical right now. Playoff basketball people are
maybe
just
that's it. Maybe that's it.
They want to hear us sing Basketball Jones. You know,
Basketball Jones! Yeah. I got a Basketball Jones! Exactly. But no, I wanted to, you know, when I did this May theme of like bizarre crossovers or like weird crossovers that no one ever talks about, one of the things in the back of my head was these two. And it honestly only as a coincidence, like I didn't even plan it for playoff basketball or any of that shit, but it just happened to work out that way. We have some thrilling ones today. We've got Totally Awesome Hulk issues 13 and 14. That is where Amadeus Cho as the Hulk teams up with Lin Sanity, Jeremy Lin. And we are also going to be talking about and ranking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Amazing Adventures Special. This is a comic tie-in to the, I believe, the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series on Nickelodeon, where the Ninja Turtles team up with Carmelo Anthony. Really, really weird crossovers that, like, even to this day, cannot believe that these are real yeah. comics.
Yeah.
It, like, just so, so weird to me, and I thought it would be really fun to read these and talk about how fucking strange they are.
Bizarre. We're, mm-hmm. The world we live in that these got produced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. These are probably the weirdest of any of the crossovers that we've featured so far in the month of May, for sure.
the others made sense. We have another. No, we don't. This is our last
we
one.
We don't. This is it. This is where my finale for the strange crossovers no one ever talks
really,
about.
Going out with a bang, huh?
Sometime. We're going out.
Like some Scooby-Doo shit or something, you know?
Yeah, but people talk about those time to time. Like I told you, I had to get the ones that people don't talk about. And people certainly don't talk about these ones, probably for a reason. But let's dive into it. Let's start with Totally Awesome Hulk. Like we said, issues 13 and 14. Issue 13, written by Greg Pak. Artists are Luke Ross, Herman Peralta. Color artist J. David Ramos, Dano Sanchez Almara, Corey Pettit is the letterer. Danny, what were your initial thoughts coming into this one here? What did you think was going on?
Well, I mean, thankfully we get the splash page, the title page here, where I get the little recap of who Amadeus is in relation to Bruce Banner and the Hulk. So that was helpful. But my big question here, Linsanity.
Linsanity.
When exactly are we coming out? Like, because this is Brooklyn Nets, Lin.
This is Brooklyn Nets, Linsanity. So this is several years after actual Linsanity. Yeah, it's well past the point. Yeah, past the point.
But he was kind of on the come back up in Brooklyn, wasn't
this he? Is where he it, I mean, he did start for the Nets at one point.
I'm just trying to put my head around why, of all the faces in the NBA, of all the names, of all the talent in 2016, I mean, that's the we're talking.
Yeah, I believe this is the 2016-2017.
Yeah, this is the best
that
the
he played,
Warriors
played for the Nets.
Warriors breaking the Bulls record. This is the midst of the LeBron, you know, the Cavaliers, Warriors.
This is definitely on the downturn of his career. But he did have two solid seasons with the Nets. He was pretty good with the Nets, even though he, you know, he played for the Hornets briefly before the Nets. He was on the Lakers for a year. Mm-hmm. And he was on the Rockets after his Knicks stint. But Jeremy Lin Sanity, even when I wasn't paying attention to basketball very much, when Lin Sanity started, like,
how could you not avoid it?
Yeah, that hit me, even though I wasn't into it at the time, and sort of started the trickle-down effect of getting me back into basketball, like, full-time, like, the whole league, always watching. So that was pretty cool. Lin Sanity was a great time, man. You gotta admit that.
I'll take your word for it. I mean, I wasn't really watching professional basketball at that
point. I wasn't either, but Lin Sanity brought me back in, and it was just such an exciting story. You know, Jeremy Lin was an undrafted dude. Here's the deal, and here's why he's in here. He's the first American of Chinese or Taiwanese descent to play in the NBA. Of American, like an Asian American, first of to be in the NBA.
Didn't he have like some crazy run in his first like 7 or 10 games or something like that?
Yes. Lin Sanity was a whole thing of basically this was a journeyman guy that should not have made it to the NBA. He was sleeping on a friend's couch and randomly got into the Knicks squad in 2011, 2012. And the Knicks, Carmelo, who we'll get to, as well as Amar'e Stoudemire and most of the rest of the team, ended up injured that year. And like the roster is like one of the worst of all time, like of who they were putting as starters out on the floor. So they ended up having to start this dude who, you know, came up from the D League and was on the Knicks, but like was, you know, the 15th man, like the last guy you get on the roster. But all of a sudden he ended up having to start, and he went on to have like an insanely good run with like the Knicks. He was absolutely killing it. Like he had a triple double. He was averaging like 20 something points. Like he was killing it. And you know, it's New York, all that shit. People got so into this dude's story of like, he shouldn't even be on here. He's undrafted. Like, how did this even happen? How is he lighting up everybody in the league and doing so well? And it became a real like feel good story. Lin Sanity. Everybody was excited. Not so much Carmelo or the rest of the Knicks who didn't like it, but you know, it was a big deal. It was like a major news story of like the human proportion, not even just like basketball, you know?
You couldn't avoid this shit. You couldn't avoid it. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, as we said, he was the first American, Asian, Chinese, or Taiwanese descent. So, like, it was also pretty good that that was going on for him, too, so he could represent there. And that's why he's in this comic. Greg Pak is a Korean-American man. He wrote Planet Hulk, World War Hulk, ton of Hulk stuff prior to this. So he is basically one of the biggest Hulk writers ever. He came back around to the character of Amadeus Cho, who is a Korean-American character, who is basically like, I think they say like the seventh smartest man in the world, even though he was a kid. And he basically was so smart, he used like mathemagician powers to be able to always like see what was going on around him and to be able to make things work for him just by using like his smarts. But he always believed in the Hulk, and like he was sort of like the Hulk's teen guy when Pak wanted to incorporate him into the book. So he became a pretty big supporting character for the Hulk here. When Marvel was doing a big push to replace a lot of its main characters with like more diverse or different directions for characters, Amadeus Cho ended up saving Bruce Banner from like exploding with gamma and ended up absorbing all of his powers into himself. So he became the totally awesome Hulk, who was, you know, basically like a teen cool Hulk.
Yeah, but that is not the rage monster.
Right, exactly. The only problem was like throughout the run, it was supposed to be like he could control it, but it ended up that he couldn't actually control it as good. It's not a very good book. I'll say that
as a whole.
As a whole, yeah.
Okay.
It's just, you know,
not one of your favorites.
No, it's fun that they tried it, and I think they really did give it a good shot. I do think that Greg Pak is a really good writer. I really like his Hulk stuff. I just feel like this book never gets...
Well, for Christ's sake, they dedicated two issues to fucking Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin, exactly. It's just not a very exciting book ever. They never
couldn't really even get LeBron.
Nope. So yeah, there's articles about when this happened because it was, you know, it was like a publicity thing. But basically, Greg Pak was inspired by Jeremy Lin and what happened to him and like his success and him being, you know, a Asian descent man that was, you know, really breaking down barriers and being famous and all this. So he wanted to get in touch with him and team up with him. So they did this story where Jeremy Lin agreed to do it and Greg Pak wrote it in his voice and doing all this stuff. So that all said, all the context behind it, I mean, it made sense for what it was. You know, you have the mm-hmm. Korean Asian American Amadeus Cho teaming up with, I mean, honestly, at the time, one of the biggest Asian American celebrities in Jeremy Lin, who was at that time still starting for the Brooklyn Nets. But it's just so weird. It's so weird. I rarely ever heard people talk about it. I thought it was so weird at the time. And like, even though I was into basketball and comics, even I wasn't very excited for it. let's hop in. How did you feel about this first issue here?
So this first one, it was just trying to get my bearings on it. You know, I think that the book actually does a pretty good job of getting you in with these characters relatively quickly, but not like feeling like over explanatory, you know, too much. Mm-hmm. So I was pleasantly surprised with this. But it was fun to just jump right into it. You know, you get a sense of Cho and, you know, his life with his sister and, you know, not necessarily a ton of explanation, but you get enough of a flavor for it to get you into it.
Yeah, I feel like it gives you enough of Cho to be like, what is his deal right now?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's cool that like he's known as the Hulk. I thought that was kind of interesting that it's not a secret identity.
Yeah, yeah. That was the cool thing is like he was the happy Hulk. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. for years it has sort of been like the She-Hulk role. And so like for this, they tried to make it where it's like, oh, a whole totally different new Hulk, you know, basically mm-hmm. a in the limelight celebrity teen Hulk. Unfortunately, they lean more into like, oh, he can't control himself, but you get it.
Just went to the typical Hulk will.
Here and there, yeah.
So, question though, as we get into it, so we meet him on the, he's at the court. We get this person who's playing right. basketball.
Starts off with him walking yeah. past the court.
He's walking past the court, and, you know, they recognize him as the Hulk. This person who's playing basketball in the teal jersey, this hairdo, unreal. Like, I was, it's like a permed, like, adult mom's haircut on this yeah. young boy. Very, it's like the center of one panel. I was
the really, art really is good. Not good. Okay. Let's be honest.
I didn't want to be.
No, the art is not good. I feel like, you know, more effort is given to Amadeus and Lin, but even then I feel like their likeness is mm-hmm. like the likeness of Jeremy Lin is only good in like maybe
it's not consistent
first page he shows up in, because yeah, like you're saying, he walks into a court and he's like, look at this, I'll use my sweet ass math powers to be able to sink these threes.
And I hate how they do it, how they draw him using yeah. his math skills where he's got yeah. formulas in like Hulk green spinning around his head, like what the fuck,
right? That's silly. Right. And like the people who are watching him are going like, oh man, Jeremy Lin, he goes, oh come on, and starts to like basically preach to you what the deal is and why he isn't like Jeremy Lin, why that's racist and offensive to him, until the guy's like, nah man, like Jeremy Lin's behind you, and you get a hilarious page of just Jeremy Lin's walking out on the court with his bodyguard. And it goes, Jeremy Lin, yep, it's really him. First American of Chinese or Taiwanese descent to play in the NBA. First NBA player to ever score more than 20 points and 7 assists in each of his first 5 starts. Linsanity, baby.
That's currently a terrible stat. Like, it's not even good.
It's a weird stat. Yeah,
like, it's such a, like,
I mean, like, it is a big deal because, like, dude came out of nowhere and did so well. But it is really, like, an arbitrary stat.
Yeah. It's silly. It's not like,
you know, first person to do this, but like, who was ever keeping track of that?
Yeah, right. Before him, who was, where, when were we ever calling out the oh, this player had four starts of 20 points or five assists or seven assists, excuse me.
Right, right.
Yeah, seven assists, too. It's like, so he had at least seven assists. Like, it's not even right. like a round number.
That was the highest, was yeah. the seven. Yeah. Either way, look, he showed up first game's playing where he was starting, and he did really well. It was a big deal. It was impressive. It was cool.
Moving past that. Yeah, so he shows up. Moving past I don't that, think yeah. it's a great likeness of him here.
No, it's not great. It's probably the best you'll get in the whole issue, though.
Yeah. This is a question. Maybe it's just my stupidity coming through of just, like, the technical aspects of it. But, like, how is this colored digitally? Like,
I believe it's all digitally colored here.
Like, the shading of things. It's very, like, this white, like, shine on stuff. Like,
oh, it's shitty. It's yeah. shitty coloring throughout. The art in the coloring as well as, like, the what I believe is digital, like pencils and inks, it's bad, right?
It's not great.
No, not a fan. I'm really not a fan.
I do love how Lynn's hair seems to get taller throughout the episode, the issue.
Very like, funny. Yeah, they're really pushing how Lynn did his hair at this point in time.
It's like, it's almost like
super tall.
Yeah, like he's going like Super Saiyan or something.
At right, point, right. Know? It's too much. They start playing a little b-ball before it gets too intense. Too many people coming in to watch him. So Amadeus is like, hey, why don't you come back to my sweet crib?
This is strange. So, like, he's like, come back to my crib. There's no explanation of it. It's just like, you want a lift? And he's like, sure. And he hops in his, you know, Quinjet or whatever it is, right. helicopter. And then it turns into them, like, spending the night, like,
playing video games. Playing video games. The night.
Like, don't you have places to be, Jeremy?
Like, it's really weird. Yeah, Jeremy says, like, I'm here for a charity game. I knew you were here, even though you just walked onto this court. this is why I came here, to meet you, the Hulk. It's all so contrived. And a problem I have with this issue is, Greg Pak is a good writer, good dialogue guy. In this issue, I feel like he's trying so hard to basically just type out like a text chain almost of how people would talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jeremy Lin is constantly just going like, ha ha, or whoa.
Look at that.
What? Yeah. It's like, I get that maybe he was a little afraid of writing dialogue for like a real human being, like, you know, to see.
Mm-hmm.
How it would
be. Yeah, how he'd respond to that, you know, and like he's got to be respectful of him and like he's probably right. working with him throughout it. But I feel like a lot of that probably is the fact that he's got ongoing plots that have been like paused, that he's still trying to keep like this phone call and the relationship with the sister that keep popping up throughout this that must be going on, you know, in the ongoing being an issue. But like for these two issues, he's got to like put that on the back burner. So he's like filling pages. It's I feel like
the dialogue is just so bad.
Yeah, it's not great. And I don't know if it's because he's stretched and it's like trying to fill this, you know, editorial requirement for this, you know, hey, we're doing an NBA tie-in. Like, you got to do it.
Right, right. No, I feel like you're right. Like, the background stuff is just, you know, his sister is fighting with him after basically saying, like, hey, you can't handle this. And Amadeus is saying, no, I can't. Mm-hmm. So they have a fight about that. And that's basically what's going on in the background. But mm-hmm. yeah, the dialogue is just, it's like so silly. It's like two guys hanging out during a day who aren't really talking about anything of substance, and he's trying to give them dialogue for all that in between like really bad art that doesn't really help it at all. But there's just so many like hey's and ha ha ha's and all this and that, and it's just like it's not very good.
Yeah. Yeah, and just like the pacing of it, we get the transition to him like going to bed, like on the couch, like they're playing video games, and then the next panel, it's like, dude, I'm telling you, you can have the bed. He's like, nah, couch is cool. I got to stay humble, and it's like, you're in New York, like you're playing in New York, like you're outside of New York. Why aren't you? Or no, they're in Austin, Texas. But like, don't you have a hotel? Yes. Like, don't you have?
Like, what are you doing sleeping here? Over at the Hawk's house, you know,
on his like inflatable bed, like this weird like.
I really think it's because they were like the story of Jeremy Lin is like he was sleeping on like the couch when he became like famous. So I feel like that's what they're like echoing here or trying to go for here.
So the real Lin heads would pick up on this.
The Lin heads would pick up on it. So, you know, I picked up on it. The insanity of it.
I thought it was strange that
It's super weird. No, it's super weird.
Couch and that this man just snuggled up on it and said, I'm sleeping here.
Right. It's weird. He sleeps over. It's because it's just so funny because he shows up and he's like, Hulk, I knew you're here. I want to hang out with you. He's like, do you want to come back to my house? He's like, absolutely. He's like, do you want to sleep over? Of course I want to sleep over.
He doesn't even
over.
Ask. He's like, you're sleeping over, right? Like,
right. It turns into like a hilarious fucking thing of basically just being like, oh, now they live together. Like, the plot at this point becomes that they will never, ever leave each other.
Yeah, they should be roommates. Like, if they're establishing Jeremy Lin now as like a supporting character of this Hulk, like, awesome. I love it.
Unfortunately, they don't.
That would have been hilarious. That would have been, you know?
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been really good. Like, I give you free license to just keep me in the comic as long as you want. That would have been good shit.
That would have been hilarious if it's like Jeremy Lin becomes.
I can't remember if he does show up again or not, but be. Like, it, from what I remember, this was it. Maybe he shows up.
Oh my God.
Again.
Could you imagine, like, 10 years down the line when they inevitably make a movie of this? And like, if Jeremy Lin was a supporting
Jeremy
character.
Jeremy Lin's in it.
And they can't even, he's too old, so they have to cast somebody to play Jeremy Lin. Like,
incredible. Oh, that'd be incredible. Great. It really would. It really, really
we'll
would.
Get there. I mean, they're going to run eventually out of IP, and they got
to
start
mining. They will. They're going to have to adapt the Jeremy Lin Totally Awesome Hulk crossover. That's why we're talking about it now.
Yeah, didn't you see it? Kevin Feige announced this shit, you know? 2031. We're already out that far, guys.
Right.
Coming for you.
Oh, man, that's funny. So, yeah, you get basically more about Jeremy Lin's, like, personal life and his charity stuff that he's equal rights for every intelligence, his charity, and how he's got a plan.
The ERFI? How do you pronounce this acronym?
ERFI is ERFI, ERFI is how I did it. Okay. They do a nice little scene of basically being like, you know, Jeremy Lin's a good dude and all this, but it like most of the issue, it's just very contrived. You know, it's silly. And then it's like, okay, who are we playing at this charity game? And it's a couple of characters that have like shown up or been around like the Hulk orbit here. Like the Arch E5912 of Planet Sakaar was someone that was involved in like the World War Hulk and post stuff. So like he came to Earth and did that stuff. And like,
who's this other Hulk? The green one.
Garan of Breakworld in Oakland. That was people from Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run, Breakworld Aliens, that came to Oakland and like set up a settlement there.
So he's not a Hulk. He's just a...
He's not a Hulk. He's an alien.
A monster.
Just a monster. Exactly. I feel like they're really going for the Space Jam monster team here. But like, even I'm sitting here like, this is all they can get for this. Right. Like, who
are
these?
You got bugs. Like, where are the aliens?
Right. There's a whole bunch of like other random aliens in the background too. And the most hilarious thing is that like Jeremy Lin knows them.
He's the only NBA player on the court.
He's the only NBA player on the court. And he seems to know all of these characters more than Amadeus does, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like calling them nicknames and passing to him and shit like that.
I've been practicing for this charity
event. I guess he has, man. So, you know, it's really silly, but it's frustrating because the basketball action only lasts like 4 pages and it's not very exciting. And then it's over.
It's not great basketball content. I mean, we've seen basketball games illustrated in comic form.
Right.
Call back to our last Ball is Life episode, which indeed, no one listened indeed. To. But this is not some of the stellar, you know, visceral action of it.
Right.
It's trying to be. It thinks it is. It thinks it's getting you there with the way.
Yeah,
that, you
but
know,
it's just it's bad art.
It just falls like flat, saying. You know.
Yeah, it really does. It's,
and it's for me, bad. I took it more as like, not knowing or having any skin on these characters because I don't read the ongoing of this story to know like where they fit in this Hulk's, you know, orbit.
Right.
It's just like, I read this and I'm like assuming that there's more meat here to like, oh, this is why these people are here. And you're giving me a little bit of the background, but it doesn't sound like there's really,
that's anything, pretty much it.
Yeah. There's nothing deliberate with much like it. These yeah. choices. It's just like, oh, these characters are in our book. We can use them without having to worry about what else, what they're
right,
doing.
Like, why is Thor playing?
Yeah, why are they here and what were they missing elsewhere kind of thing, you know, for this.
Exactly.
So we get Archie 5192.
Who is becoming like a main character in this story. Exactly.
This is the transition. That's funny. Like, if this is the transition of like, we're gonna really Archie, we gotta get him more page time. We gotta get him in this. It's like the Lynn crossover. That's where it's happening, baby. That's gonna springboard Archie to the prime time.
Exactly.
Everyone's gonna be saying 5192 after this insanity cover.
It's really weird. It's really weird how prominent the robot becomes in this. Like, and it kind of sucks because it's not really what you want out of it. You know what I mean? But yes, the game is going on, and then a big mechanical dragon comes in and rips the roof off of the court, and it's, you know, the Hulk's got to go fight him, and before he's smashing him, his sister contacts him and is like, you should have listened to me. Now Jeremy Lin and Archie are getting caught by another dragon, and that is a wrap on that issue.
It bugs me, the sister, to
be continued.
I hate this sister where we just get complaining with no explanation of what he should, like, just stop, like, you know, stand down, don't do anything. And it's like, but
it's more contrived nonsense.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just frustrating to be like, stand down because I have it under control, or stand down because we've got X, Y, or Z happening. Like, give me another line and I buy these characters. But right now it's just like, ugh, like,
we need issues. Even the, like, stand down, and it's like, why? Because another dragon is also here? Like, let him handle all of it.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, that takes us to our next issue where Luke Ross is gone, and it's just Germán Peralta. The color artist, like we said, J. David Ramos, Dono Sanchez, Elmara. And the art is a little bit better in this issue, but still not my cup of tea at all. How did you feel?
It felt a little more drawn. Like, I felt like the shading was a little more, like, artistic rather than just, like, you know, paint by numbers kind of feel.
Right. It's a little bit better than it was in the last one, and the coloring is at least a little bit better too. Doesn't mean the actual issue is much better.
I feel like this Hulk too, the way he draws, you know, Cho as the Hulk, he's almost got like a Japanese greaser vibe to him, the way his hair is done.
Yeah, he does. Maddie, the sister, shows up, and she's all like, you know, I was handling this, like, you're out of control, like, you're being an idiot, you don't know how to control his power. So she negates his power for most of this issue.
And it's funny because it's just like, it seemed like he was pretty under control. Like, he didn't, like, people didn't get unnecessarily hurt. Like, he wasn't, like, causing destruction. Like, this just felt like manufactured drama.
Absolutely. Because this whole story is the manufactured drama for real. Like, where it's like, okay, I get you're fighting with your brother, but, like, let him handle shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she sucks his powers out with this dart. Where the hell's this been?
Right. The gamma dart.
The gamma
really
dart.
Really handles business there.
We could have solved so many problems of the Hulk rampaging every, you know, Hulk story.
Yeah, you know, there's always that type of stuff in stories before, but, like, it's just seems so commonplace here to be like, look what I've got.
Yeah, stop. Oh, right. Damn. I feel like Jeremy Lin's the one who calls it out. Like, I shot you. He shot you with a gamma radiator dart.
Yeah, it's funny because Jeremy Lin's like, you know, your brother wants to help and, like, is trying to step in for him and all that shit. It's very funny. Jeremy says, Archie's a fellow player. I'm not bailing while he's in trouble. Which is very, very funny that, like, you know, Jeremy Lin is going to also be a superhero because his teammate's in trouble.
His robot teammate for a charity game.
Right, is in trouble. It's no good. So we find out that the villain of this story is Quasimodo, who is an old, basically, android intelligence created by the Mad Thinker, who is basically just like a big, hulking, like, gross, fake man computer thing.
Okay.
Not exciting, not a character I care about, not a character I like, and is barely in this story whatsoever. It's not even like the real Quasimodo. It's like the Quasimodo tech without pretty much a brain or motivation, like, at all. And it's more of like Amadeus thinking he's handling stuff until Maddie shows up late and goes, I know what's happening, but I didn't tell you. I'm on it. And it's like, well, again, like, I guess the theme of the issue is they should be speaking to each other, but it is very much that frustrating, like, oh, we could have figured this stuff out if only we had talked. And it's like, it's
the twist on the, like, new people meet up, they fight each other and realize they're on the same side. But, like, in this, it's like, oh, we're just not listening to each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
Aren't brothers and sisters the worst?
Exactly. It's that shit. And it's just annoying, really.
My sister stinks.
Yeah. I hate my sister. And it's just, ugh. It's annoying. I don't like it. They come to like a big mass of like the Quasimodo absorbing people, and she's got a plan, and
but she tells no one.
She tells no one. He is able to Hulk out again. He stops it from happening until she's like, dang it, I was going to do that. And it turns out he messes it up, and it turns into a conversation of, you know, you didn't say anything for me to listen to. You didn't listen. A whole big dumb fight until our boy Jeremy Lin calms everyone down and says, we can handle this. We need a vulnerable spot to stick this in. And he goes, it's like knocking down a long bomb three. Okay, this is something I know a little something about. He's got good defense. We got to move the ball. If you get a good open shot, take it. If you don't, pass to someone who does. So at this point, it becomes a very, very silly, like, fake basketball play where Archie, Maddie, Jeremy Lin, and Amadeus, like, hop in, and they do, like, silly trick passes, and then it's, like, it's like everyone's going to dunk it in. Yeah.
It's the Globetrotters here. You know, they're playing. This is the Generals they're going against.
This is the Generals they're going against. And, of course, you know, you get a full page of sweet ass action of Jeremy Lin doing tricks and leaping in the air like he's going to slam dunk it. But he passes it off to Archie at the last second, who puts the bomb in and saves the day.
I like that robot Archie does wear sneakers.
A jersey and sneakers, yeah. as all that's happening, Brook Lopez... All-star center for the Brooklyn Nets. Man. His teammate shows up, and Jeremy says, yo, Brooke, hey, man, came as soon as I got your text. What's going on? And Brooke's pissed off that he didn't tell him about it till the end. One of the funniest things is, like, in the press release and, like, interviews for this thing, like, ESPN did a story on it.
Jeez.
And Brooke Lopez is interviewed for it because the Lopez twins are, like, big, like, comic book fans and shit like that. So it's very, very funny because it's like Brooke Lopez is like, I read it. Everything matches up. It's a perfect match for these characters. It's a real good one. Like, I like it. Natural dialogue.
So it's all just three pages.
Right. It's all just like so funny. And then, yeah, of course, Brooke Lopez shows up for like three pages.
And then it's it. He takes his shirt off and he starts helping some robots carry move some debris around.
right
Brooke exactly. Lopez shows up to clean up, you know.
Exactly. That's you are right that he does take off his shirt. Which is very,
getting
very
that Quasimodo
funny.
Juice on him, you know, like
right, you know, if you're a strong man and you have to do work, you gotta take off your shirt, you know.
I mean, you could be a fat man and take your shirt off. That's what I do in the yard. I'm not
there.
I'm
you go out. You need to do that too, you know. A man's gotta take his shirt
just trying
off.
To get some sun, you know.
And that ends like the whole story.
That's it.
Not much else to say about it, to be honest.
It's bad. I'll never come back to this.
Mm-mm. I think it's really, really funny that it happened. And I feel like there was a lot of press in the lead up and when it did happen. But I feel like it happened and then that was it. Like, nobody cared after that point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, why would you?
Why would you? Exactly. That's absolutely what the deal is here. And that's why it's one of the most bizarre crossovers I've ever seen. Like, it makes sense, but it's also like so strange and no one's ever going to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I get that it makes sense, but like, I feel like it's stupid nonetheless.
Yeah. The actual story is stupid. Like, I feel like there could have been a better way to involve Jeremy Lin in your story.
Yeah, make him a supporting character.
I mean, I'm with you. If he's coming in for a story here, he should have come in for like the entire thing of like I'm friends with Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, he pops in. They're living together, you know? Like,
right, that would have been sweet. I would have loved an entire series. Hey, yo,
Amadeus, guess what? I got traded to the San Antonio Spurs. I'm right in your backyard here in Austin, Texas.
Right? They should have done that. Like, yeah. We all would have had a much better series.
Right, yeah,
that
make up a Texas city. I got traded to the, I don't know, the Waco Cowboys.
Waco Cowboys. That's good. That's good. But yeah, it's bad. The art is bad. The coloring is bad. The actual plot is bad. I can't think of any, like, point that I even liked as even, like, a you know, like silly shit where it's like, oh man, that's so dumb that like I ended up loving this. It, unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
No, I really feel like this one is one that could have been like Camp Central, like a lot of fun, like if it really leaned into the silliness of the premise.
Mm-hmm.
But like the fact that it was still like this wasn't an annual or a one shot or a one off thing. Like the fact that it was still like a numbered continuing plots kind of
just two happening. Issues in the middle, like instead of like some oversized annual, just like you said,
like it, because it was so like it couldn't get as tongue-in-cheek as it would could have, and if it really like was more self-aware, I felt like it would have been a lot more fun.
Well, and the plot is just dumb. It's just boring. Like, who cares about Quasimodo? Who cares about like anything that's happening in here? You could have done like something more exciting, you know?
Yeah
I don't know. I would have liked a more exciting plot if I was.
You'd think
going to get Jeremy Lin coming.
You think
in
Jeremy Lin's all-star center Brooke Lopez, the comic head, would have told him and said, "Hey, Jeremy, maybe you should give some notes here on this story.
That's that, right. Change up the plot a little bit here."
Yeah. Ask him what Spider-Man's coming in, Jeremy. You know, you want Spider-Man? Like, you're not even with Bruce. Like, you're getting You're getting the second Hulk. Like,
I don't know. I think it's cool that, like, you know, in a way it's really pushing the Asian American like success stories. I do think that's cool. I am glad that they did it. It's just that Jeremy Lin was already on his way out, basically. Yeah. And it's just,
and for me as a not an NBA person, like he kind of was like those flat. He's a flash in the pan person in my mind. The fact that like he went on to have play for other teams and do other things, like, the general public, that's not common knowledge. It's just like, oh, here's this player that was a big thing 6 years ago, and now it's like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
From like rereading this today, it's like, of all people, fucking Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, there's like 4 or 5 years in between like the actual Lin sanity, and it's just, it's not great. I just wish they would have done so much more with it, and unfortunately they did not, and it's not good all around. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to sit here and be like, what the fuck is this? But that's about it, Danny.
I know. It's more interesting. I'd be more curious on like the background, like the things going on that led to this. And I'd be like, to be a fly on the wall, like when this is getting pitched and when they're like working with these players and that sort of thing. And like the, you know, because you know that there had to be conversations with like Jeremy and, you know, the art folks. So, like, this is how we're going to draw you. And then him being like, does that really fucking look like me? Or like, can you make my hair taller? Like,
I would have enjoyed seeing that. Yeah, like the Zoom call where he's like, you got to do my hair more. I got to be dunking better here. Yeah. Like, yeah, something like that would have been pretty entertaining to see.
Yeah, like the behind the scenes. Where's the 30-minute documentary, like YouTube documentary about this? Like, when is this the story of this popping up on
one-shots
on Disney Plus? Like,
exactly. It should have been. And really, that is one of the reasons why I added it in, because it's like, it's one of those fucking bizarre crossovers that nobody talks about. I want to know more about it. I want to examine it, even if it's not good. So yeah, that's that. Anything else to say about this bad boy?
No, I can't. We can't keep beating this up. No, you know, we're just, it's a dead horse.
It is.
Got to bury it, you know? So where do you rank this?
I don't think it's very good at all. I gave this a 10.
Okay. I'm not far off from you. This is going to be our lowest for sure. And I have this one as a 15.
Oh, okay. Wow. You went higher than I did.
I felt like it was still, like, as far as contrived and stuff, it was just, I didn't hate it. It wasn't like Like I had.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like, I don't
this
hate
is
it.
Shit. But like, I couldn't. I was struggling to find things I liked.
Ultimately like, meaningless. Yeah, there so never like, is a thing you like.
When I was getting down to that 10, I was like, I don't want to be vindictive. It's like, eh, I'll just give this like a, let's split the difference.
I sort of felt the same way, but I judged harsher. I went harsher.
No, fair enough. Fair enough.
So that gives it a 25, Danny. It is not the lowest. It is second lowest on the list now. It is right above Kev Smith's Daredevil Guardian Devil. at 18.
So not bad. Right where it deserves, right where it should be.
Yeah, it's right below Ultimates 1-6, which got a 28, and is like vile as Ultimates could get. I do feel like there was more that you could look at that and be like, oh, I got more out of that than I got out of this.
Yeah.
Even if it was like terrible. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think this that our ranking there really
it fits
definitely fits. Okay, so now let's move on to it's called like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Amazing Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
The Carmelo Anthony special.
Mellow.
This is by Matthew K. Manning. The art is by Chad Thomas. Colors by Heather Breckel. Letters by Sean Lee. There was an ongoing tie-in comic to this Ninja Turtles cartoon series.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't watched as much of that series as I would have liked. I've gotten into it a bit, a ways into the first season or so, and I always liked it, but I never loved it. I think it's just because I'm in my 30s, but I did enjoy the cartoon.
I always liked the art style of this when they showed off these designs. That's as far as I got.
Yeah, I no, it was it, neat. I'm right there with you. I only watched like some of the first season. So
my
I
nephew growing up like years ago, he had because he was like prime age for this, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 when it dropped. He had like the 4 foot tall version of Mikey.
Oh, was really into
like the
it.
Big plastic for Mikey. Like,
oh, that's like cool.
That's how I had familiarity with it.
I like that.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. But this was a good one for me. Mellow, my boy. I got a special place in my heart for Mellow.
Oh, you're a fan of Mellow.
Well, it's not really Mello. Anything. Yeah, like it really it's silly, and you're gonna make fun of me about it. But 2003. That season where so for the folks that don't know, Carmelo Anthony played 1 year at Syracuse, which is
1 year. We're going to the tap.
Syracuse, which is like 3 hours from us. So it's one of the bigger programs that's close to us in Buffalo.
It's really basically what we call our local.
Yeah. Like when you're talking on like D1 level, team. Like our local school, like UB, the University at Buffalo, has gotten better in the last few years. But at this point, Syracuse
this was our D1 team. Yeah.
And at the time, my grandmother was a huge fan of Carmelo Anthony. So, like, we would go over there every Saturday night, and they were, we'd be there every weekend.
I love watching Carmelo. Love
and
that.
Then she passed away the following year, but she always would, you know, talk about Carmelo shooting the ball from, you know, shooting those threes, which at the time was not the way that the game was played back then, you know.
That's like, true. He was a phenom.
Mm-hmm.
I still to this day think he is like maybe not all time, but of the past at least 25 years, best freshman.
Oh, in yeah.
College basketball.
He led him to a national championship. So, my, like, I mean, he was.
I won't make fun of you. He was like freshman. I was with you with this. Mm-hmm. They were the local team. I was so into it. It was so exciting seeing
him and McNamara, that little white boy he played with. Like,
yep, oh my yep. God. And like with me being so into b-ball at the time and like following like Slam Magazine, I was following all the high school stuff for years before then. So like I knew some of these players like well before they got there. So like I knew Carmelo going in. So it was just so exciting to see him like live up to shit
mm-hmm.
and just fucking destroy everyone. Everyone that came at him. He was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. They were something else. I think they only lost like 3 or 4 games that year, like in total.
Yeah.
Syracuse's first national championship.
It was incredible. A big deal. It's
and,
incredible.
You know, the factoring in the layer of like watching this with my grandma and having all those memories of doing this with her.
I really liked it.
They were so, and they, I mean, they still talk about it. You can bring up Carmelo with my aunts and uncles. Like they don't even watch basketball. They'd be like, ah, your grandmother loved watching him play. It's like, Yeah, she did.
That's super cute.
Yeah. So, gotta love whenever, and then whenever I see Melo, it's tough because, you know, his NBA career wasn't as prolific as we all expected it to be. But, you know, anytime he comes up.
Well, now here's the thing. You know, I was never a huge fan of Melo in the league. Even as like a Knicks super fan, I was never huge into him. I always thought, he played his style of ball and he was never going to change. It worked, and it worked for him. I don't know how well it worked for wins and winning, but, you know, he is one of the best players of all time, Hall of Fame career, even if he has not won a championship still.
He didn't even get close to it. Well, no, the Nuggets did. Right?
The Nuggets got to the Western Conference Finals, yeah. But the Lakers that year that won, I mean, Kobe, steamroller. You can't. Prime Mamba? I mean, come on. Come on, man. So, you know, it is a lot of people do forget that, even myself, that like the Nuggets were only a couple games away from making the finals. And I totally believe they would have won. Who was that?
Was that like Celtics era?
I can't remember.
Or no, that hadn't happened
year.
Yet.
No, it was. It would have either been that or the Orlando Magic one.
They did have an off year in the middle there where they were like, yeah, not an off year. They had a good year in the middle.
I think it was 2009. Let me check. 2009 NBA Western Conference Finals. Yeah, it was Lakers 4-2 over them. So, like, you know, they almost got to seven games.
Hey. But was it meant to be, you know? And now he's just, besides LeBron and D Wade, that class, you know, him and Chris Paul really still waiting on that ring.
Yeah, I don't think Mel is going to get it.
Well, he's done, right? Didn't he retire?
Nah, man, he's playing for the Trailblazers.
Really? Still?
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. Damn. He's still racking in the points. He's not doing so good in the playoffs, but you get it. Okay, so yeah, I was right. It's the 2009 NBA Finals, and they would have played the Magic, which was the Jameer Nelson, Dwight Howard Magic, which should not have fucking made those finals.
Well, the Eastern Conference was...
Well, LeBron should have fucking made it, and we could have gotten the LeBron-Kobe thing, but I fully believe if Melo Nuggets face off against Dwight Howard, they would have won.
They should have won, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people get on Melo's case being like, oh, he's not a winner, he didn't get a ring. Like, he was very close to getting one.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just New York. You know, if you come to New York as a name and you don't deliver it puts a mark on you, you know, regardless of whether it's warranted or not.
Right. And
the city just chews you up, spits
you out.
Bombed
out hard in New York. He never brought anything of what they gave up.
Did they even get a play? Did they even make the playoffs during his time?
They made the playoffs, I believe, once or twice when he was there. They'd had one of their best seasons in ever, but that was when they signed like Jason Kidd and all these other veterans to like a 1-year deal thing. And they made the playoffs then, and they had like a 50 or 52 win season. That was like the best year they've had in the past like 20 years up until now. But yeah, Melo, you know, he was a big time superstar, still was making all-star games and doing all this. He was still on the Knicks at the time of this comic. This is 2016, so this is when he was, you know, still big deal shit for New York City. You know, still a perennial all-star, still averaging like 27 points a game and all that shit.
There was still some hope that maybe they could piece
it together. There was still some hope, yes. Carmelo is a huge fan of the Ninja Turtles. He has come out and said as much. He has teamed up with Nickelodeon as well as the Turtle franchise to be basically like an ambassador for the Ninja Turtles.
So they did what he's like a character. Like he's like shows up. He's like what we were just begging for in Jeremy Lin and that totally awesome Hulk.
Yes. In the fact that instead of, you know, Greg Pak or whoever being like, let's get Jeremy Lin in here, Carmelo is already with Nickelodeon.
Yeah, he's
and
like,
Turtles.
Put me in
he
a
basically was
tournament.
Saying, like, yeah, put me in the fucking Turtles stuff. He's been interviewed and he said, you know, he watched this version of the Turtles with his son. He was a huge fan of the original Turtles. He did a clothing line that he developed with Macy's and Nickelodeon for kids of Ninja Turtles. He's in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. That movie, the bad movies, the stupid movies.
Oh, gosh.
He has a cameo in the second one.
We saw the first one, right?
We saw the first one, yes. Yeah. In the second one, he's in it for a little bit. And like
that's the one they shot in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. We got to watch it.
So he's in that for a little bit. And he did a bunch of like random little Ninja Turtles thing and like events and would always rep for him and stuff. So it is a thing that maybe people don't know, but Mello is a big Turtlehead. And they, I believe, specifically did this to be like, hey, you know, we have Mello here. Why don't we fucking use it to sell some comics and shit, you know? So they put out this one shot, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Amazing Adventures, Carmelo Anthony Special. How did you feel about this one, Danny?
This one was fun. You know, I think I liked, even though I didn't watch this cartoon, this version of the Turtles, using the, like having it be the same designs and style, like it gave me a sense of like, okay, this is like a fun, lighthearted Turtles. You know, like it got me right into where we're immediately. At. Yeah, and like set the tone. And I think it's some fun dialogue. You know, it's very fast paced. It's really quick. It feels like a cartoon. You know, it does feel like a cartoon.
They don't waste any time, and it's funny. It's genuinely funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, from like the cat hang in there poster to you know just all the little things that are going on, and I think are really it's very nice.
It starts with, of course, Mikey being the B-ball fan, and he's like, "Man, I'm gonna do some sweet trick shots and stuff." But he can't do them, and he fucks up, and it's really funny because Splinter can do them when they're all
he's
like
huge. What the fuck? He's like taller than the Turtles.
Well, yeah, he's an adult. They're teenagers. it's a very funny opener, and it's funny to like set the scene that Mikey's the basketball fan, and this is going to be about basketball. Mm-hmm. You eventually see Baxter Stockman, who's turned himself into a fly, as he is wont to do in many of the adaptations of the Turtles. And he's trying to make a mutagen, and he ends up putting a chocolate bar in it, which becomes a recurring joke.
But he's fun. I love his design. I think it's a really cool character design, like with his hair. Like it's almost like I was reading this as like a riff on like Goldman's Fly, like Gary or Jeff Goldblum's you know, the Fly.
There's a little bit of that there. Stockman's always sort of look like this in the cartoon.
I didn't know that he was characters and stuff.
But they really amp it up in that cartoon for his design, which is done real well here.
Great colors. Everything just pops. Like it's just
The colors are really good. It's very like you could give this to a kid, you could read it, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun throughout. You know, there's really great dialogue with Bebop and Rocksteady, the versions of them here, where Rocksteady is Russian, and like they really play that up for jokes in here.
But it actually hits. I think they're good.
They hit. They're very good jokes. But Baxter's trying to make this mutagen for Shredder, and they're like, "Hey, you got to find an athlete for this." Mm-hmm. And as that's going on, the Ninja Turtles are doing their stealth stuff, but they're doing it to sneak into the basketball game. Which is very fun. It was very fun to see that. And they're all like, be quiet to Mikey sitting like, we'll sneak onto the scoreboard and we'll watch the game from here as long as you're quiet.
Worst seats in the house.
Terrible place to watch a game. But Carmelo Anthony is introduced and Mikey can't handle it. He's so excited about it. How did you feel about the artistic rendition of Carmelo Anthony here?
It's not very...
It's not accurate.
Yeah, like it works in the context of this, but I don't think it's like where with our last one, Jeremy Lin, they were trying to, it was done in a style where you were trying to emulate Jeremy Lin, you know, in a realistic way.
Yes.
Whereas this, yes. I guess I suspended disbelief with this more zany, cartoony version of the Turtles where I gave it almost a pass because it's like, okay, you're not trying to be a one for one caricature of Carmelo Anthony.
Right. It's like an animated version of Carmelo
Anthony. Yeah. Yeah. It's like when the Globetrotters show up on Scooby Doo, you know, like it's like, okay, yeah,
there's
you know?
Right.
You're telling me this is Carmelo Anthony. It's Carmelo Anthony. Okay. Like
right. I get it.
Whereas the other one where it's like you're trying to show me this is Carmelo Anthony, or you're trying to show me this is Jeremy Lin, but I'm not seeing it, you know?
Right, right. Like, yeah. This version of Carmella works, but yeah, it's not the best rendition I've ever seen.
It's not him at all. You could not put this, you cut this guy out. I slapped that in front of you and say, which NBA player is this? And you even give him from the draft class, from the 2003 draft, who is this?
Right. You'll be like, I might even say LeBron.
Yeah, like you're going to say LeBron before you say Carmelo.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the later page of when he's on the billboard, when Bebop and Rocksteady see that. But no, it's pretty good. Bebop and Rocksteady are on the hunt, and they're like, why don't we get these random people? And it was, no, we need someone strong, someone who can lift ox or eat a giant bowl of potato. And Bebop says, see, this right here is why you guys lost in Rocky IV. It's a funny joke. And he says, where are we going to find an athlete in New York? And they're like, oh, shit, Carmelo.
Bebop, I got to say it. I hate how skinny he is.
Oh, a terrible design. I've always hated his design for this.
It's rough. Because and with Rocksteady being so good. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, granted, he's very, very similar to his, you know.
His usual. Yeah, he's a big fucking rhino.
But he looks great. And then just Bebop, it's like, dude, why are you so scrawny?
Like, yeah, I've never liked that design for this show. I really do think they went hard in trying to make a new design for this show to be different from like the original one and to set him apart from his partner here. But I feel like they leaned into that way too hard.
Yeah, like make him shorter, like give him like a different, you know,
right
kind of profile. But like to make him this like lanky dude with a warthog head, it doesn't feel right to me.
It doesn't. I will say I like him a little better in this comic than I do in the show because mm-hmm. he's like less stylized. But even then, yeah, I'm not a fan of it. But they heist Carmelo Anthony.
What's Bebop's power set? He can go through walls?
I don't really even know what his deal is in that show. I can't remember what his deal was. I only ever saw one or two of him in this show. And like you said, I hated him in this show, so I was never really looking into what he was doing.
Yeah, it just was weird to me how like Carmelo's walking down the hall and like he's talking to this figment of like, "Hey, man, you come over here." Like it's like,
right, and then he just like appears.
Yeah, he appears on this brick wall. It's like, what the fuck?
He like, if I remember right, it's like a suit he was wearing or something. Mm. He sucks as like a character. When he like first shows up, he's like this skinny like tech dude with like x-ray glasses on or something, and that's like why he's wearing the goggles in this. Like I said, the design sucks. What he is in that show sucks. That's one of the major points of that show I don't like. Who knows? He's got a tech suit on, I guess, Danny.
Well, no, and now that you say that, like, and I'm looking at, like, the way they stylize, like, the purple stripes or the purplish-pinkish
stripes. Right, on, and I'm I like, think okay. That's what it is.
All right, I could see it. And, like, you know, his tattoos and, like, the way that it's on his arms, like, okay, like, he's a tech guy, all right.
Yeah, but you go from that page to the next page that's a full-page splash of Rocksteady bearing down on Carmelo.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is fucking sweet. Like, I love Rocksteady there. It's a great page, you know?
Mm-hmm. How come they couldn't put Carmelo in Knicks colors?
I mean, you can't do that. You well, like, pay money to the Knicks. This is just Carmelo Anthony in his free time.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, like when they got the Bills players, you know, the local, like the Bills football on the, you know, the local shit commercials, they're still in, they're not Bills gear. They might be in Bills colors, but they're not in Bills, like, officially licensed Bills.
Well, he's in his Ninja Turtles colors instead.
Yeah, because that's why I was like, my question when I had written down, I was like, when does this fit in the Carmelo, you know, career path? But then you're like, it's firmly in New York. It's like, well, why wouldn't
it firmly be in New York? Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think they wanted to fuck with any of that. I don't think they can afford
it. Adam Silver, he's fucking coming down hard.
Someone will. Yeah. And you know, they. I don't think they wanted to fuck with it. I also think it was very much a, like, Carmelo Anthony brand and like, you know, him serving that he's not a Nick, he's Carmelo Anthony, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's what
David Stern would have been reading this at night, you know, sipping his tea, and he would have called up Adam and said,
we need to sue these guys.
Are you getting paid? Are we getting paid?
Are we getting paid for this Ninja Turtles coming? That's good shit. But yeah, they try to capture him. He ends up running out, and he ends up running into the alley where the Ninja Turtles are hanging out and playing like more basketball in the alley here. Which I thought was really funny because he runs like past them, and Mikey's like, everyone saw that, right?
I love how cute his little baby face is there too.
He's drawn very cute and very fun. They do the like big expressions and like reactions. The chibi
kind of like
reaction. Yeah, all the chibi or like the bigger one stuff, like all that stuff that they do throughout the like
the show. Yeah, where they get smaller, their heads get bigger when they're showing expressive. It's very animated. It's cool. It's got a it takes that and you know action and intensity and like excitement you get in the cartoon because they're constantly moving that fast pace to keep the energy going as you jump around with those, you know, to emote through those different patterns of drawing the characters, and they translate that to the page here very, very well.
Mm-hmm. It's really well done in the like transition of a comic tie-in. You're definitely doing it right. You're doing it right here for sure.
It helps too that like the cartoon is so like the way that like the character designs are so like set up for comics, you know, it's not like
absolutely they're ready to go to be drawn,
you know,
like that.
It's not like you got to really twist them into something else to make them work as a comic, you know. It makes so much sense that like the from a corporate synergy perspective of like, all right, like these are the Turtles comics, we're doing Turtles comics, and this is what they're going to look like in here too, you know, like it makes sense.
Yeah, it's good. They have a little fight here with the Turtles. As Carmelo keeps trying to run away, he ends up getting thrown into the van that Bebop and Rocksteady has. And it's pretty funny because Bebop's like, what's the problem, man? You're getting drafted. And he keeps saying stuff about like, what's the matter, man? You don't have time for your fans and all this shit as he keeps coming at him. It's just, there's little tiny lines that like, you know, don't make you laugh out loud, but they make you laugh. They make you.
It's a little charm to it, you know.
Right? Yeah. It's very, very like cute, very fun. As it continues on, like they're trying to stop him, and the van goes off, and it's funny because Rocksteady goes, "I believe that is how you say in basketball, a slam run." As they get away, Shredder's like, God, you idiots, you never fail to surprise me. Could you have kidnapped a more high-profile athlete? He's like, nope, no sir, not in New York at least. It's like just great little shit like that. Baxter ends up giving him the mutagen, and he's like, it might even taste like chocolate, or it won't. Never mind. And the transformation happens. You don't see it happen here. Mikey's saying to the rest of the Turtles, we got to save the Mellow Man. He'd do the same for us. He's like, he doesn't even know us. And Mikey pulls out his official Carmelo Anthony fan club member for life card.
I love that it's Mikey's picture. I like that it's Mikey's picture on it and not Carmelo's.
Right, right. It's very, very funny. I had a good laugh at that point. They end up tracking them, and Anthony comes out. They get Carmelo Anthony to come out, and Carmelo Anthony has been turned into an armadillo. How did you feel about his design?
Loved it. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed his. I didn't know what he was at first. When he first pops out of the truck, and it's the full splash page of him charging in his basketball armor, and I'm like, is he an anteater? Like, I'm trying to.
Yeah, I could see that.
Was it like an aardvark?
What
or something?
Is it like the next page? Yeah, Mikey goes, it's the Carmadillo.
I like to think that
great bud.
Now that you're saying that, like Carmelo was such a big Turtles fan, I like to think that that was his idea. Like
I want to be an armadillo. Yeah, call me like, the Carmadillo.
I got my name, guys. Make me a mutant. I'm gonna be.
I tried to find like if there's an interview or something about this, but I couldn't really find anything. I do like to think in my head
that he did. This was his thing. I want to be the Carmadillo.
He was super involved in like the clothing and all this other stuff. So I could easily see him being like, yeah, that's an animal that fits my name.
Yeah, I don't feel like it fits his personality or anything. Like,
no, yeah. And that's the problem is that like I don't I don't love that he turns into an armadillo because it's like, what? An armadillo? But then when they do the Carmadillo thing, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. And it does make you laugh, too, you know?
Yeah,
it's
and then what's the other pun. Name? The other way they... An armadillo.
Like, yes, they... who is it? Mikey or Leo says that?
Yeah.
Calls him an armadillo, which again is like, you know, that would have been the toy's name.
Yeah.
That you bought in the early 90s, 80s. Like, oh, I got to get Armadillo, man. but instead, he's like, it's Carmadillo. Fine, Carmadillo. But it's a funny fight. I like Carmadillo's basketball, like, shoulder pad things. Just like
it's the, great. The like, turtle like, yeah, it's shells. A cool design. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the turtle shells, but it's the basketballs on his shoulders and knees. Right. It's really cool.
It is. It's a really nice... design. It's really fun. I feel like, you know, it gives you everything you'd want in like this dude turning into a monster villain. So yeah, they end up having their fight. They end up saving him because Mikey's like, I'm your number one fan, man. See, my card's laminated. Don't break the sacred trust of the lamination, man. Which really, you know, that shit made me laugh. I like that they get through to him, and like through the whole time he wasn't like a villain. He was just like transformed. He ends up trying to fight Shredder and all that stuff. I love Shredder in this. It's like, I see your par for the course, Stockman. And Stockman's like, it was probably the chocolate. He's like, huh? Nothing. What? I didn't say anything. I like your cape.
The chocolate bit. It's like
the chocolate bit. It. I like that it comes back here, but like it actually leads to like more. Like humor of him being mm-hmm. like, I guess it was the chocolate. Maybe that's why he's not listening. It's good. It's good shit. That was probably like my biggest laugh of the whole thing was him saying, I like your cape. Good shit right there. So yeah, he ends up fighting with the turtles. Oh yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady grab a bazooka, and he's like, you know how to fire that thing? Not even a little bit. He shoots it, and they end up getting hit by the van, and Raph is like, starting to get to the appeal of the van, which is a funny joke that the Turtles had a van in the 80s, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
Oh, there are all the van jokes in this one, too.
Right, right, and that's really for, because the van was such a big deal of the old Turtles cartoon and toys and all that shit.
Hmm. Didn't put that together.
Yeah, that was the thing back then.
So meta.
So meta. So meta. One of the things I really like about this is that like Mello falls in the water and he immediately changes back.
He changes back, and I love that Shredder makes his getaway in a van and he just like gets in the front seat. Like he's yeah. just like
he's just hopping right. it.
Yeah. Like we're dunking on the way home, like
right, and like Carmelo has barely said anything in this, and he's like, you're turtle people. And Ramp's like, shh, you hit your head. I'm a parking meter. And they run away, but Mikey ends up staying, like staring at him with that little heart above his head. And so like, cute. It's so cute. It's so funny. Like, Mikey's so excited that it happened. And I love that it ends with like Carmelo being like, I don't know what happened, but I hope I find out something.
It's a cliffhanger. Maybe the mutagen's still in him.
Could be.
With
could
the way be. That his hand flashes when he looks That's down right. his hands. Like, That's right. It's like a total, like, you know, Twilight Zone ending here of, like, was it all a dream? Like,
it is.
Is like, it over?
Or? Is he going to come back? Yeah. Will the Carmadillo come back?
The Carmadillo will return.
No, I really do enjoy that, too. It's just a, like, fun little way to end it. All in all, I think this one, like, I don't think that this is the greatest comic ever, but I think it's fun, you know?
I think it's more successful than the Jeremy Lin one, because I feel like this one is a bit more, and maybe it's just the, like, you know, the nature of the Turtles and this iteration of the Turtles, but this one just seems a bit more self-aware to yes. what this oh, is.
Way more, and, yeah. Like, it's just They're trying to fun have fun. With it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the a thing... that we've been judging a lot of these crossovers throughout May with like their success and why I like them are based on they give you what you want, like what you're coming here for. Are they actually delivering or are they giving you dumb shit like Jeremy Lin fighting Quasimodo with Archie? Yeah. In this Dude. One, Yeah. Right. And it, with this one, it's, oh no, like Carmelo Anthony teams up with them and fights all the people and turns into a monster. Like it's everything you could want, you know?
Yeah. Right. It's a nice self-contained, and I wish he stayed on. I wish that he's like now a rogues that maybe will pop up at some point in the future.
That would have been good. Would have been good. But yeah,
when they reboot the river that we read earlier,
they should put Carmelo in it.
He should be the ghost of the river.
He should.
The old man. Should.
Yeah, this one's not one of the ones where they're like, oh, I fucking love it. It's a comfort food favorite. But like it's way better than it should be. And I think it's because they don't give it the like, Carmelo, what charity are you working with? What are you up to these days? What's your input? Like, he has like maybe like five speech bubbles throughout the entire goddamn book.
Yeah, and it's not like pushing it like he's such a good guy. Like, he's really cool. He's always passing the ball. Like, he'll always defer. Like, it's get over it. You know, like,
exactly.
I don't need that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's everything you could want. And it really, like, I believe it deserves extra points just for that. Anything else to say about this bad boy?
No, it was definitely a highlight for me. Both, you know, this was the closest to a comfort food comic that we've gotten out of this section, relatively speaking.
Yes,
relatively speaking.
So, what did you score this bad boy?
So, I mean, this isn't lighting up the charts by any means. It does score a bit higher than the Jeremy Lin.
Right, no doubt, no doubt.
But it's not leaps and bounds higher because at the end of the day, it's still something that doesn't need to exist, doesn't give me this feeling of like, man, that was a great story. It was just,
it's just fun.
So I have this one as a 22.
Yeah, I gave this one a 25.
Okay.
Because I thought it was a perfect middle of the road book.
Yeah, I felt like that, like I was like, that's why, like 15, and you know, I gave the first one a 15. This one, it was kind of like I'm trying to keep them in context of like my scores here. So
yeah.
I didn't call out a ton of things I hated about it, but like at the end of the day, it's a one-off Carmelo Anthony. I don't think we need to justify like, why don't you feel this pushes the medium, Dan? You didn't say anything negative on it. Why is your score not reflective of that? Like,
I agree completely with what you're saying. No, I sat down, you know, I gave the last one, what was it? 10. I gave
10,
it.
Yeah.
This one, I felt like, you know, it wasn't anything I'm going to go buy. It's not something I'm going to like keep here and be like, yeah, I need that physical book up on the shelf. You know what I mean? It's fun, but it's nothing amazing. You know, it's a perfect 25 as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Middle of the road. Makes sense.
So that gives it a score of 47, Danny, which ties it with World's Finest 89, The Club of Heroes. That's with all of the Batman of many nations. Oh, but it's not one. The Batman of many nations. It's the Club of Heroes one.
This one should go ahead because fuck that bullshit where they make my
anti-Italian.
Yeah. My sweet pies on. They make the dope.
Italian races. Races. They make him a criminal.
Putting us down. We're just bumps.
Make him a villain.
Yeah, accessories. We could just be used and abused, and we're just the loose link of the Club of Heroes.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I think this one is definitely way better. My thing is I'm a little upset it goes right below Amazon number one, the Amalgam comic by John Byrne, which got a 50. I believe it should be above it. But,
it should go above that one.
It's unfortunate, but there it is.
It's the scientific method.
It's so close to a 50, a middle of the road, and I feel like that's really where this is, and I definitely feel like you were right in giving it a little points off to make it fall a little bit more. Perfect spot, really. Not much higher than 154, which was totally awesome Hulk. It's at 146 on the list. I knew both of these weren't going to be high, but they were going to be fun to talk about.
Definitely we're not lighting up the charts this week.
No. So that is our NBA playoff 2021 season, as well as our final May crossovers that mindfuck you that no one ever fucking talks about.
Oh, gosh. Let's go the other way. We got to come back. Like, let's get an evergreen book or something.
We're going to get a book. We're going evergreen. We're going evergreen after this, for sure. As always, find the big list at comfortfoodcomics.com. Sticky, as well as plenty of great content on that site for you guys to check out. You can always find me personally on Twitter at Dave Shevlin. The podcast and the website is at CFC site on Twitter. Danny, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at @_DannyMo. And then you can always follow the podcast on Instagram at Comfort Food Comics Podcast.
Please do. Please do. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go Knicks.